One Sunday morning, an elderly minister was looking through his closet trying to find the tie to wear to church that day, and he found this box. And he opened it up, and in the box was three eggs and a stack of $1 bills. He counted them. There was $100 in that stack. He didn't know what it was, so he went and asked his wife. He said, "What is this?" And she was a little embarrassed, and she started to tell him, and she said, "Well," she said, "in all your years of ministry," she said, "I put back an egg for every bad message that I've heard." And so he didn't feel too bad. It was only three eggs. And she said, "Well, what's the stack of $100 bills for?" And he said, "Well," or she said, "Well, every time that I put an egg in a box and I got a dozen, I sold them to the neighbors for a dollar." The Bible says rejoice. If man had not sinned, think about this. The Bible might have only been two chapters long. If you really stop and think about it. Now, there probably would have been more of the Bible written, and it probably would have been stories about Adam and Eve and their descendants sitting around laughing. Maybe telling jokes, having a cup of coffee in the Cinnabon, sitting around in the garden just talking, fellowshipping with Jesus. Might have been stories about the things that Jesus had done for them. And everybody would have loved it but Satan. And we all love being here today and enjoying worship. But there's someone that doesn't enjoy it. That's Satan. And so anyone that doesn't think that there is an adversary out there that we're dealing with needs to stop and think about it. Because I believe that if it had not been for Satan, we may have never needed to see the serious side of God. I mean, if the Bible was only going to be two chapters long, you'd have to write about something. So I think God expects us to have fun. And he expects us to enjoy the less serious things in life. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 12 through 19. And this is the New Living Translation, but it says, "Then King David was told, 'The Lord has blessed Obed-Edom's household and everything he has because of the ark of God.' So David went there and brought the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with a great celebration. After the men who were carrying the ark of the Lord had gone six steps, David sacrificed a bull and a fatted calf. And David danced before the Lord." But it doesn't say he just danced before the Lord. It said he danced before the Lord with all his might. Everything that was in David danced that day, wearing a priestly garment. "So David and all the people of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouts of joy and blowing of ram's horns. But as the ark of the Lord entered the city of David, Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked down from her window. When she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she was filled with contempt for him." It's always that person out there that can't find fun and can't find joy. And so I look at what's our traditional concept of God and who do we really think God is? The Bible says in heaven there's no bitterness. It said in heaven there's no danger, there's no sickness. There's no death. All those things that take away our joy and our peace. So if they're not in heaven, why in the world would he put up with them in this world? Why can't we be joyous? Why can't we live a little bit different than maybe what we think? When God says rejoice, he means rejoice. whoa, really? Yeah, really. In spite of the things that we go through, that our physical body suffers, our spiritual body is to rejoice. And as we said last week, when God bent down and formed Adam out of the dust of the earth, everybody says that he took this ball of clay and made him. That's not what it says. The Bible says that he bent down and he formed him out of the dust. And then he said he gave him life when he breathed into his nostrils. And I'm thinking he must have bent down to man to breathe life into his nostrils. Had Adam and Eve not disobeyed, they could have spent eternity in the Garden of Eden. Had they not disobeyed. But somehow we get our own ideas and we like to mess things up. Not intentionally, I don't think. Some cases they may be intentional. But I think the majority of us do not have that intention in our mind to ruin something, to destroy it, to mess it up. Somehow people get the wrong idea. We've talked about God had told Adam and Eve, he said, you can eat from any tree in the garden but this one particular tree. There's a picture of it on the front of your bulletin. But he said, everything else you can eat of. He didn't say, do not touch the tree. Well, what do you mean he didn't say that? Well, didn't he tell him to tend the garden? Where's the tree? The tree's in the garden. But somehow we get things so confused that it gets convoluted in our mind and we get messed up. One of the things that I think, and when we look at this, is that that tree was placed there for a reason. It was placed there for a special reason. And had Adam and Eve tended that tree and taken that fruit to God as an offering, as a tithe, which is what he asked them to do, is to tend the garden. And they could have brought that to him as a sacrifice. The Bible says to bring the first fruits of the harvest. And we all know the story of Cain and Abel. And Cain, brings his offering after Abel brings his offering. Abel brings what? An animal. I think it's probably a fatted calf, but I don't know. But it was the prime one out of his herd. And he offered it to God, and God accepted the sacrifice. Now Cain brings his sacrifice of grain. And a lot of people think, he brought that sacrifice and God didn't accept it because it was not an animal. That's not why he didn't accept it. He didn't accept it because it was the third picking, according to the Hebrew language, that he brought. He didn't bring the first fruits. He brought the third fruits. And so that's why, when we stop and think about it, his offering was rejected. Abel got the message. Cain didn't. But the Bible says in Genesis 6:7, God spoke to Cain and he said to him, and this is from the Message translation, he says, why this tantrum? Why the sulking? If you do well, won't you be accepted? And if you don't do well, sin is lying in wait for you, ready to pounce. It's out there to get you. You've got to master it. What God did then was gave him a second opportunity. But rather than take that opportunity, said he threw a tantrum. He sat around and sulked. He sat around and felt sorry for himself. He could have turned from his madness. He could have repented, brought the right offering back. the right tithe back, the first of what God had blessed him with, and been forgiven. But he chose not to do that. The point here is that the tithe or the gift to God is not only precious to God, but it's powerful to God and is powerful to us and to mankind. One of the creations that can never enjoy that is Satan. I would be pretty upset if I was him, because I couldn't do any of that stuff that Adam got to do and any of that stuff that Eve got to do when he said he would bless them. Adam could have taken the attitude that the tree of good and evil belongs to the Father. It's his. He told us to take care of it. He told us to tend it. He told us to water it, to fertilize it, to harvest it. He could have treated it specially, could have treated it with extra care. He could have watched over it closely so there wasn't a bug come along and infest it. If they had just taken the time to let God teach them what he had in store for them, then we wouldn't be in the mess we're in today. I think it's important to see here, as we look at this whole plan and this whole thing that went on, is that when Satan saw that he couldn't have anything anymore, then he devised this plan. You can read it in Genesis 3, 1 through 7, but Satan heard the blessing that God had on Adam and Eve and on mankind, because he was there. He knew what was going to happen. He knew he couldn't overthrow God's creation. He knew he couldn't overthrow God's plan for anything. And I was driving to church this morning, and the thought went through my mind of how I miss people in my life. You know, and we all do. I mean, I miss my mother, I miss my dad, miss my son. And I wonder how God felt when the man that he had created lost fellowship with him and turned away and said, "What you've got for me, God, is really not enough. I want to know and I want to be like you." And Satan is the one that deceives us, whether we really want to admit it or not. He knew he couldn't overthrow God's kingdom. He knew he had no future. He knew he had no life. He'd already been told where he's going. So he deceived them because of his plan to attack heaven. He knew that there was, nothing God was going to do to break his word. He knew that there was nothing he was going to do to revoke any authority that he'd given to man, because he wouldn't do that. One of the things, and I've said this before, is when God gives you something, God doesn't take it back. And I've often said this about televangelists and those in healing ministries that have the gift of healing. He gives somebody that gift, he doesn't take it back. He reasoned, I think, and maybe thought God was going to be in some kind of quandary, because God had already given everything on the earth to Adam and Eve, so he can't take that back, nor would he. He couldn't go back and recreate man, because if he did, he would have had to admit that this was a failure, that man's creation was a failure, and it really wasn't a failure. So Satan, he devised a plan, and he thought it was pretty brilliant. He thought it was pretty good when he really got down to it. The thought also went through my mind: did the serpent have legs? I asked you a couple weeks ago, could the animals in the Garden of Eden talk? Well, Satan went to the serpent, and what he did is he conned him. Because God created the serpent. Adam named the serpent. As far as we know, trust me, it was a beautiful creation, as far as what we know. But we know that Satan conned the serpent, and so anyway, he created something out of what God had already put there. And so he was deceived just like Eve. Because the Bible says that God made everything. So the serpent was a beautiful creature created by God, but he had to be deceived in order to get at that plan. Boy, that's weird stuff. Yeah, it really is. But it's the truth. So what happened was, Satan goes to him and talks to him and gets him on his side, and then he goes and deceives Adam and Eve. And all Satan cares about is destroying our lives and throwing us on a trash heap, and that's what he did to the serpent. And that's all he cares about. He only cares about ruining our lives. He uses our lives to, and the things that he does to deceive us, to work ill will in us, to destroy us. And then once he's done that, he throws it on the trash heap so Rumpke can come along and pick it up. And that's all he cares about. I think I heard the other day that there were 40-some cases of drug overdose in Cincinnati over the weekend. And they're telling people to carry extra Narcan with them. That's what Satan wants to do. Destroy lives. Destroy people. And throw them on a trash heap. If Adam would have laughed at Satan and said, "Hey man, no way. God's given me all the authority on the earth. In fact, he's given me his authority." And if he would have just done that, we'd be sitting around in the Garden of Eden drinking a cup of coffee, eating a Cinnabon with Adam and Eve. But that's not what happened. Some people think this whole mess that we're in is the fact that Eve was deceived. Wrong. Genesis 3:6 says, Adam was with her when it happened. He could have stopped it, but he didn't. He walked into it with his eyes wide open. And I was thinking there was a movie not too long ago or some time ago come out called Eyes Wide Open, and then I think it was Eyes Wide Shut or something. I don't know what it was, but, you know, some kind of movie. I don't want, couldn't tell you what, I don't, I'm not a, you know, we have movie clips if I watch movies. Could put clips of the NCAA basketball tournament up here. But the glory was gone that Adam had and Eve had. And now there was a battle that was waged against mankind. They realized they were naked, but that was only the tip of the iceberg. They felt fear, they felt separation. They felt disloyalty. They felt a disconnect from God because of what they had done. They knew they made a mistake when the light went out. The light in their lives went out. And when he warned them, and it's kind of interesting that the love, the joy, the peace, the goodness, the faithfulness that has been surrounded them was now gone. And he told them and let them, you know, understand that with what was gone, that their spiritual life was also gone. But what death means is death to a physical body, but physical death is a separation of the spirit from God, is what spiritual death is. Things might have changed if Adam would have repented. Instead of running, instead of seeking forgiveness, he went the other way, totally the other way. And so those people that think that God is out to punish people is wrong, because God is a God of grace. And if we read on in that passage, it said he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day saying, "Adam, where are you?" He didn't say, "Adam, get out here right now." He didn't say, Adam, why are you hiding from me? Adam, where are you? I want to fellowship with you. He knew. God knew what had happened. And he gave them an opportunity to come to him. He didn't want to embarrass them the same way God is today. But he came to him and he sought him out. First thing happened was Eve blamed the serpent. Well, he made me do it. By the way, the serpent didn't have legs because God said you'll walk on your belly for the rest of your life. But that's what happens. And so if we want to blame God for what happens, we have to understand that that's the wrong idea. Because the Word of God in the Bible is a message of reconciliation. Of God coming to man and looking for man. And so Adam put the blessings that he had now into the hands of Satan. He really gave what God had given to him over to Satan. And what he had done is he had given up everything that he had was now given over to demonic control to Satan. And the blessings that he had and the blessings that God had given to him were now actually 100% opposite of what God had given to him. Everything that was his before is no longer his. He had lost that. Everything that was affected that you can imagine by the fall was affected. Adam, the Bible said, had dominion over all of the earth. So if Adam fell, what else fell? Dirt? Vegetation? Animal life? Satan would like us to think that he has all the power. But like we said, he doesn't really have any power. The NIV version, one translation of a scripture says, knowing all things, these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. The New Living Translation says, no, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. That doesn't sound like a Christian is a loser. That doesn't sound like a Christian is a second-class citizen. And that doesn't sound like what God created for us to be. He has given us power. He's given us authority. But we have to take it. And we have to use it. It's when he comes to us, it's what he does. When we die, our spirit leaves our body. And it'll have the same form as our physical body, but once the spirit is born, the spirit never dies. And so what the spirit's doing is waiting in that area above the light in the spiritual realm for a glorified body to possess. But when the Bible says absent from the body, present with the Lord, he's talking about our spirit. And our spirit is present with the Lord when that happens. So there was a great loss to Adam and Eve that day. Great loss to you and I. They lost the light. It was shut out on them. They lost the presence of the Lord. They lost the relationship that they had with him. But he provided a way of reconciliation. A way out. And so when we receive and when we follow through with God and when we find him as our Savior, and we're going to give everyone an opportunity like we do every Sunday before we leave to find Jesus as our personal Savior, then we're going to have an opportunity to be part of that reconciliation process that he has for us. God bless you.